Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LeDuc. Torch Song Trilogy is a collection of three plays by Harvey Fierstein rendered in three acts: International Stud, Fugue in a Nursery, and Widows and Children First. The story centers on Arnold Beckoff, a Jewish homosexual drag queen and torch singer who lives in New York City in the late 1970s and early 1980s. In its original incarnation, the trilogy was first produced in those same decades, with its Broadway production opening in June of 1982 and running until May of 1985. Torch Song Trilogy earned Tony Awards for Best Play and Best Actor in a Play. Fierstein has recently adapted his work into a shorter version entitled Torch Song, which is running at the Second Stage Theater on 43rd Street in New York City through December 9th. The production, directed by Moises Kaufman, features Jack DeFalco, Roxana Hope Raja, Michael Rosen, Mercedes Rule, Michael Urie, and our guest, Ward Horton. Horton is best known for playing Dr. Scott Strauss on CBS's Pure Genius and was the male lead in the horror film Annabelle. He plays Ed in Torch Song, and I began our conversation by asking him about his familiarity with the piece before auditioning for this production.
Zero familiarity. I did not know the play. Obviously knew of Harvey and seen his work, and so when my agents brought me the script and I read it, I was blown away. I couldn't believe that this was a play that was written as long ago as it was. You know, I think that the fact that Harvey was able to kind of foresee the future and create a life that he wanted to lead, which was a life that was unheard of at that time, and then to be able to carry it out, not only, you know, in this script form, but kind of in his life too. I mean, he has always been that guy who has been so comfortable with who he is, and he allowed people to kind of see that in themselves as well. But, you know, for me, I didn't know anything about it, so my agents brought me the script. I went through the typical audition process and got to meet Moises and do work sessions with him and then come in and work with all the creatives at the end. And it was actually the funny story is I'd never been, you know, you hear about being offered a role in the room before and I didn't think it was possible. I didn't think it happened, but it did happen for me on that last audition, which was really, really special. And the funny story behind that is that they came out of the room to tell me, and I was actually talking with somebody else that was about to go on an audition, and they didn't want to do it right in front of them. So I left, and they said, Moises said, hey, can you come with me for a second? Grab your stuff. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, I guess I'm being escorted out of the building. You know, thank you for coming, all the work you put in, but we're going to go a different route. And then he offered me the role, and I said, wow, I thought I was getting the grand exit. so that was pretty special for me.
When your agents first give you the script, was it the new adaptation, the shortened?
Yes, it was, yeah. And I purposely didn't go back and actually read the original script. As for us, you know, we had to figure out how to make this work. This is a condensed version of the original script. All of the text is pretty much exactly the same. It's just stuff is cut out. So, you know, there were times in the rehearsal process where you had to get from A to B where originally there was maybe two pages of stuff that goes on in between. And for us, we had to figure out how to make that work. And I didn't want to have all that information. There was times that we did go back to it, and I did need to, like, what's going on here? I can't make this leap. We've got to figure out how to make this leap. And then having that information helped me do that. We would beg for Harvey to give us more lines, bring some stuff back so that we could do that. And he was adamant, and rightly so, of making this a shorter play. I think, unfortunately, people's attention spans aren't what they used to be. And so people would look at a four-hour play or a play with two intermissions and say, I'm not going to sit through that. And I think that this condensed version really does hold up very, very well, both in the world we live in now and also just that condensed version of it. It really, really works.
Another question about when you first get the script from your agents. Are you told to look at the role that you end up with? Is that the role that you're going to audition for?
Yeah, that's how that works. I'm sure it works differently for some other people. Sometimes they say, hey, take a look at the script and let me know if there's any role that you're interested in playing. For me, no. I grew up doing theater, and I used to do a lot when I first moved to New York, but I've been doing mostly film and TV in the last 10 years. And so
you went to college for like business or something like that, right?
Yeah, I did. I got away from it. I grew up acting, and I did it into college, and then got away from it. Just didn't think that I was going to do it for the rest of my life. It was a passion, but it wasn't a realistic passion for me, and I'm kind of too practical. And so I got away from it for about 5 years, and I went into finance, worked for about 3 years down at a firm down in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, until 9/11 happened, and I got back into it, and kind of made that switch to what I was passionate about. So some people might get that, but I did definitely was told to read for the role of Ed, and um, And Ed is a complicated guy, and I didn't really realize how many layers to the onion Ed had, you know, until we started getting into the rehearsal process. And I knew he was complicated. A little recap of who he is: Ed is a guy who, you know, back in the '70s was a closeted gay man that it was fairly typical at that time. You know, I think that he's a character that might not be as relatable today as he was back then. Now you might look at someone like Ed and be like, okay, get it together, man. Like, figure it out. Make some decisions here. But back then, it was dangerous to be out, and it was you couldn't hold the career, the profession that you wanted to hold if people knew that you were gay. It was dangerous. You know, up until 1969, it was completely illegal to be gay, basically. And so, you know, this is a little bit after that time. But for someone like Arnold Beckoff, played by Michael Urie, and who Harvey originated, he was a man that thought outside the box. And Ed is a character that he falls in love with. They fall in love with each other, but Ed can't bring himself to live the kind of life that Arnold wants to live. He wants it, but he doesn't think he can do it. And throughout the course of the play, he makes some leaps and bounds and takes some steps back, and at the end, you don't know whether it will all work out, but you do see a change in him, because it spans over a 10-year period.
At the beginning, or near the beginning, Ed is, he's not just hiding from everybody else, right? He's in denial himself, partially.
Yeah, he is in denial. I mean, he's there at a backroom gay bar and sitting there telling people that he's basically straight. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. He is in denial, and then he goes off and he marries a woman, a very lovely woman who loves him very much, and who he loves as well. He does, and he says that and over again. But it's more of a companion than it is someone that he loves in the sexual sense, in the wanting to build the life together sense. Obviously, that's frustrating for everybody, for her, for Arnold, and for Ed himself.
Tell me more about working with the creatives and the cast, building the show, building this production, and getting comfortable exploring all of these very personal things.
Well, it's a very open group of people. I'm working with Moises Kaufman right from the start. He, you know, he really allowed us to explore it on our own, giving us. He grew up as a gay man in New York at this time period, a little bit after this time period, but he knows it well. And obviously, we had Harvey in the room with us, who's experienced this. So there were plenty of people that we could talk to and really shoot ideas off of, and they would give us their personal experiences when we were struggling to come to terms with something. And it was very collaborative. I felt very taken care of. I felt listened to. But then when we needed help, they were there for us. Moises is a genius in putting this all together, because there are three completely different plays, structurally very, very different. And the way that he was able to put this all together, and the way that the set has been designed and the workings of it all, it's really kind of a genius construction. And Moises is responsible for all of that. And then, you know, being on stage working with people like Michael Urie and Mercedes Rule and everybody, Michael Rose and Jack DeFalco, you know, Roxana, we're all very tight. We're very close with only the six of us. We've spent a lot of time together, and we've gotten to know each other quite well. I think that helps, because this is one big family. I hope that shows in the performances.
When you work on a show, there's always that moment where you get an audience. You know how the creatives are reacting. You know how you're reacting when you watch scenes that you aren't in. You know how that's going. But then the adding all the people in the audience makes such a big difference. What has that been like for this show?
When we got to rehearsal, we really hit the ground running. I think we got to a place where we needed an audience sooner than they had anticipated. I think everybody did their homework beforehand quite well. And so by the last few times in the rehearsal room, Moises and Harvey and some of the other creatives were going out and bringing people in just so that we'd have 10 or 15 new eyes in the room to kind of help inform us how the play it plays in front of an audience. And so then when we got to previews and we were, having that full audience in front of us, and our audiences have been amazing. Couldn't believe how passionate the fans were, the audience members were. So many people coming that had seen this play 35 years ago. this was just highly anticipated for them. And so we had these wonderful audience, and it really does inform what we are doing. And we are still, to this day, I mean, we're in every performance, we're finding new things, and every audience is different. I would say that we had very passionate gay audiences to start. And now, you know, we still have, you know, as they say, the men's room line is always quite longer than the female restroom line, which is never the case at any theater you
right.
go to. So now the audiences are skewing a little bit, you know, less gay and more, and you know, Midwestern and you know, people coming from all over and people that don't know anything about the play. I think that's the biggest thing, is the audience that we've had leading up till now know a lot about the play. Some of the audience now, because it's been reviewed well and people are hearing about it and saying, I want to go see that play, now it's a different kind of audience. And you really have to pay attention during this play, because it does take you on a journey that if you're not listening, if you're not focused in, you might miss some things. And so, yeah, it's been great. We love our crowds.
You mentioned that 9/11 happened and that brought you back to the creative life. Do you mind telling me more about that?
Yeah, I had just married my wife, and I was working at a job that I had no passion in whatsoever. I did it because I felt like I didn't know what I wanted to do with my life, and I felt like it was the right thing to do. And then, yeah, 9/11 happened, and I think I saw myself and I saw so many of my other friends from college that were going off and doing jobs that they weren't really happy with. And I sat down with my wife, and I said, and she gave me kind of that kick that I needed to say, you know what, now is the time to do it. Now is the time to pursue something, not 10 years down the road when we have kids and it's just an impossibility. And so I needed that. I think I needed that, like, little bit of support and encouragement, and I will be forever grateful for her for that. And she's been by my side this entire time, and we have that kind of relationship that we just kind of lean on each other in times of need. And so, yeah, so I moved to New York, and I did about a year of regional theater down in North Carolina. I did three different shows over that year. I was banking during the day and then doing theater at night. It was crazy schedule. And then I moved to New York, and I didn't know anybody. I mean, I you know, actually, I'd say I didn't know anybody. My dad was friends with Barry Bostwick growing up.
Okay.
And so he reached out to Barry, and Barry had a guy named Jerry Siegel. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because he was in this building. Here, where we are right now.
Oh, wow.
At Polk. And I didn't know that until I just walked in the building. I had no idea where I was coming, and I have not been in this building since I was with Jerry for many, many years ago. So, yeah, so I knew Jerry. So Jerry, and he was wonderful, and I was with him for a long time, and he introduced me to many, many people along the way. But I still didn't have any film, TV experience, and I knew kind of that is, had been a focus of mine. So I started taking classes, doing student films, and doing some off Broadway theater, and kind of building a resume, and that was 15 years ago. It's been a while.
What have been some of your proudest accomplishments thus far?
I mean, outside of my kids?
Yes. professional things.
Yes, professional. This will be by far the most proud piece of work that I've ever done. And I've been fortunate and been able to do some great work on film and television, but this, it takes it to a different level. But the way that you have to dig just deeper and deeper every day. You have the luxury of a 3-week rehearsal experience, and then the tech experience and the preview experience, and you can constantly, as I said earlier, peel back layers off your character that you're not always afforded in film and TV. But I think you actually are afforded that more than I realize that I can do. And so I think that's what I'm going to take into every bit of work that I do going forward, is knowing that, like, you can continually dig deeper. It's not just about, you know, getting it done for that day. It's about getting it done for the whole life of that character and that project. So for me, yeah, this has actually been a very eye-opening experience, because I've done theater and I've done, but never had a character like this. And this has been really eye-opening and rewarding.
Ward Horton plays Ed in Torch Song at Second Stage Theater on 43rd Street in New York City through December 9th. Links to more information are posted along with this interview at wamc.org/roundtable.